Now, is this Zoom or this is regular YouTube or both or?
Both.
Both. Huh?
Facebook and YouTube.
Okay, Facebook and YouTube. Okay, is there somebody that needs some review, like to get up to speed where we are with text number 36 from Brahma's Prayers? Is everybody familiar with the context? You need a review. Okay. This section covers chapters 13 and chapter 14. The last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada personally translated and made purports for is chapter 13. Starting with 14, it's his disciples, continuing from there. Chapter 13 has three parts. The boys going off to herd the cows, or calves, because they're very young. And then the incident of killing of Agasura. And then the third part is Brahma, having seen this, wants to examine or challenge Krishna's limits of Krishna's mystic powers. So he steals the calves and cowherd boys and puts them in a cave, etc. Krishna shows what he shows. He shows the unlimited power and his expanding as identical forms of calves and cowherd boys, forms of Narayan for each one of them, all of the potencies of Narayan, and that's a lot of potencies, for each one of the forms of Narayan, singing their praises, being worshipped by all living entities, and then showing all the universes, plural, and then they all disappear. Showing that Krishna is the source of everything. That ends chapter 13. And then the prayers of Brahma, that's just chapter 14. We're up to text 36. It ends with number 40. There's sections. This section, rather than reviewing what all the sections are, this section specifically is, in the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Brahma takes a deep plunge into the ocean of Braja Prem. Starting with verse 31, he is just extolling the unique position of the residents of Vrindavan in some very interesting ways. And the last two verses that we discussed, they both resemble places in Srimad Bhagavatam where Uddhava is similarly glorifying the residents of Vrindavan. One of them is where Brahma prays to Krishna to be allowed to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so that the dust from the feet of the residents of Vrindavan can be placed upon his head and he can become fortunate. And we discussed that at length. In a later chapter of the 10th canto, chapter 45 or 46, Uddhava speaks similar words. He prays to become a blade of grass so that he can, in Vrindavan, so that he can receive the dust of the feet of the gopis and become blessed. So that he is, both of them are elevating the position of the residents of Vrindavan and the dust from the feet of the residents of Vrindavan as worshipable and the highest thing. And then the next verse, which we discussed yesterday, is asking Krishna, how are you going to repay the residents of Vrindavan? Because you gave eternal association in the spiritual world to Putana simply because she dressed herself like a devotee and did that little service, and you gave her a place in the spiritual world assisting Mother Jasoda eternally. And similarly, her two brothers, Bhaka and Agasura, were brothers of Putana. And they were just inimical. They didn't do any service. They just were obedient to her. And they got liberation too. So what are you going to do to reciprocate with the residents of Vrindavan? Because for them, everything, it gives a long list of everything, is simply dedicated to you. They have no other shelter, no other meaning, no other purpose, no other anything than you. How are you going to repay them? And you've already given yourself to them, so you can't say, I'll give myself to them, because you've already done it. So now what are you going to do? And Uddhava says something similar in Canto 3, Chapter 2, speaking to Vidura. Who can be a better master than Krishna? Just see. Putana came to kill him. But because she came like a mother, he accepted that service as mother and gave her a position in the spiritual world as an associate of Mother Jasoda. Who can be a better master? So now this evening's verse is the contrast. One of the methods of teaching, there's different methods of teaching. One of them is called compare and contrast. If you want to understand something, you contrast it with something that is different from. So he's contrasting the position of the Brijvasis with people of piety. And people of piety, at best, can attain something material. But by that obtaining something material, they're imprisoned. By that something that they obtain and their sense of piety, their sense of pride and their piety, being the enjoyers of the objects of piety, they're prisoners. They're prisoners in the cycle of birth and death, and they're prisoners in the objects, and they're prisoners in their mood of thinking well about themselves because they're pious. How unfortunate. So he's been describing the good fortune of the Brijbasis and his desire to have their blessings. And by getting their blessings, he knows he'll get Krishna's blessings because they have Krishna's blessings. So it's very simple math. By approaching the servant of the Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. He's just saying the same thing that Lord Chaitanya said, only he's using Sanskrit terms that are different. But the principle is the same. So, the verse, I don't know too much about Sanskrit, but I know a couple of things. Sure. But it's got some ring back. So I wasn't moving it closer because it had some ring back. Okay? Okay, okay. So, something that I learned about Sanskrit, a small something, is there are these terms, yavat and tavat. Yavat and tavat. Whereas, then, as a result, such and such. Or it's kind of like a metaphor. As this, so that. Yavat, tavat. So in this verse, there's one yavat and three tavats. Yavat, Krishna, na, Te jana. Te means your. Those jana, those who don't become your devotee, yavat, as long as they don't become your devotee, then these following things will happen. Tavat, tavat, tavat. So here's the translation. We'll hear from the commentary that sequence spoken of in different ways. My dear Lord Krishna, this is text 36. Until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves, their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. Whoa, that's pretty heavy, huh? Purport. Apparently, the residents of Vrindavan, the abode of Lord Krishna, are simple householders engaged in ordinary affairs, such as herding cows, cooking, rearing children, and performing religious ceremonies. I mean, they're just like everyday people. However, all these activities are intensely engaged in loving service of Lord Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan perform all activities in pure Krishna consciousness and thus exist on the most exalted platform of liberated life. Otherwise, the same activities performed without Krishna consciousness constitute ordinary bondage to the material world. So it's the consciousness behind the activity that's essential, not the activity per se. Thus, one should not misunderstand the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan, nor should one consider oneself highly religious simply because one performs ordinary domestic affairs very enthusiastically, but without Krishna consciousness. By focusing our passionate attachment on our family and society, we are completely deviated from the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Conversely, if we engage our family in the loving service of the Lord, our endeavors to maintain our family become part and parcel of our progressive spiritual duties. Paragraph. In conclusion, by studying the extraordinary status of the residents of Vrindavan, we can see that the essential quality of their lives is pure Krishna consciousness, the rendering of loving service to the Lord, without a trace of material desire or mental speculation. Such loving service to the original personality of Godhead immediately creates an atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the kingdom of God. So, this idea that's expressed in this verse, this application principle of the distinction between material and spiritual consciousness, material and spiritual life, is an important distinction. It's mentioned in a few other places. One of them is in Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna has an idea to become spiritual, and his idea to become spiritual is karma sannyas, give up his activities, go to the forest, become a mendicant, and live peacefully. And Krishna says, no, that's not the path of perfection. The path of perfection is perform your prescribed duty, and always think of me. Or one of the earlier verses, we discussed this yesterday evening, text 3, or prayer number 3 from this chapter. is also Brahma's idea. Stane, statak, stay in your position. Perform your duties from your position. And instead of saying, the language of Bhagavad Gita is mam anusmara yujyacha. Mam anusmara, always think of me. Yujyacha. Yuja is, means fighting. In his case, it's his duty. Perform your prescribed duty and always think of me. So stane statak, stay in your position. Whatever it is, your psychophysical nature, you do that. Under the codes of the Vedas, do it in theistic conduct way. And abandon the tendency, the liking to speculate about truth. Instead, take to the hearing process. Hear from qualified persons and dedicate your tanuvan manovir, your body, mind, and words, or body, words, and mind, to those instructions, to that sound vibration. Live your life according to that message that you hear, and you'll achieve perfection. That's a path of perfection. So here's the contrast. Those that one may think, the Brajvasis, they're worldly people, like we're also worldly people, so what's the big deal? We're also religious, they're also religious. We also take care of our families, they take care of their families. So I'm like them, or they like me. But the world of difference is the consciousness behind their activities. How they always think of Krishna with total attachment. So we're going to hear some more about what that is. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Brahma speaks to Krishna. The sannyasis will object that the inhabitants of Braja are fallen in the net of material life in the form of attachments to sons and wife. However, what to speak of the householders of Braja? Even your ordinary devotees in other places are superior to the sannyasis. Attachment and aversion are great thieves because they steal the great treasure of great bliss from the soul. The souls are bound up in the prison of household life so that they cannot criticize the Supreme Lord after having lost their wealth. As long as people do not get the mercy of your devotees and become your followers, they remain in that position. When they become your devotees, they develop attachment for bhakti and aversion to things obstructing bhakti. They become absorbed in you. These thieves, what's that? Attraction and repulsion. The Bhagavad Gita verse. Raga Dvesha. Raga Dvesha. So raga is the word that's used in the verse. Attraction and repulsion. These thieves, attraction and repulsion, expecting to grasp the great treasure of unlimited knowledge and bliss when they become fixed in you, give up their bad qualities and instead do good service to others. The house, which was a prison, by performance of pious and impious activities, binding them up, becomes a means of attaining the eternal Dham through activities of serving you and singing your glories. When the jiva becomes the devotee of Krishna, then the bewilderment, or moha, from objects formerly wife and sons becomes causes of the expression of prema. How can the sannyasis compare to this? My son, Sanat Kumar, has said the following to show the inferiority of such people and the superiority of the devotee. He's quoting a verse from Canto 4. Chapter 22. The ocean of nescience, which is a translation, The ocean of nescience is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. And, this is Brahma continuing, the inhabitants of Braja have even thousands of times much greater prema than these grihastha devotees. Though you are Purna Brahman, you show yourself as dependent upon these devotees by taking the form of their son. Unquote. So it's the compare and contrast. The exalted position of the Brijvasis, the unfortunate position of those that are minus that attachment to Krishna. And they're instead, they're attached to temporary things, attraction, aversion, attraction, repulsion. That's the mind platform that is minus the mind being attached to Krishna. Process is simple. Bring the mind to Krishna. Bring the mind to Krishna. Easier said than done, right? Jiva Goswami, his commentary. Krishna speaks to Brahma. If their glory is that they give everything to me, then you should go home and do the same thing. Brahma replies, let it be so. By dedicating themselves fully to you, they are greater than Atmaramas. But it is difficult for people like me to surrender to you. With this intention, he speaks this verse. The meaning is this. Raga refers to attraction to objects. Adayaha means that by attaining or not attaining objects of attraction, one experiences joy and sorrow. The house is such an object. Moha means lack of discrimination because of attachment to objects. Thus, raga is mentioned first, since all the other items depend on it as a source. You, as the Atma, are the natural and ultimate shelter of attraction, raga, for the soul, having within it unconditional prema. This attraction, by not taking shelter of Krishna, wanders around and takes away the ingredients of your worship, standing for auspicious desires like a thief. Pious desires, auspicious desires are like thieves. It steals the natural joy of the soul. Its followers, such as moha, are the same. The house then transforms into a prison to give the remaining punishment, since it gives intelligence opposite to surrender to your feet. Moha, taking on a special name and nature by the false intelligence, becomes shackles for the feet. Even though the prison house is destroyed, because raga and other products still remain, that is, because of inability to surrender to you, the chains remain. As long as these people are not accepted by you, they will remain in this condition. When they are accepted by you, they will attain you, who are the shelter of real raga. Those material qualities then cease to take shelter of the self. Spontaneously, the faults disappear. the person becomes attracted to attaining Krishna. And then he quotes a verse from Vishnu Purana. Unintelligent persons have unflinching affection for the objects of sense gratification. Similarly, may I always remember you so that the same attachment applied to you never leaves my heart. Unquote. Thus, when the house is offered to you, it is no longer a prison. When moha becomes a part of prema, it is no longer a fault. The people of Vraja are the crushed jewels of souls surrendered to you. How can people like me, who touch the dust from their feet, desiring to attain something, attain a position like them? They have raga for you. The places of your pastimes become their prisons when they cannot attain your association. They faint in prema, and this gives them suffering. This happens as long as they do not attain service to you. Though they faint, still, since they have surrendered to you, the people of Vraja have no fault at all. The idea is different ways it's expressed. The way of spontaneous devotion looks the opposite of what it is sometimes. Like people go around fainting, there's something medically wrong with them. But the residents of Vrindavan aren't fainting because of something material, either medical or, you know, at a big loss of something. So the photograph of a man, the father of what's five children at once are called what? Quinn is four. Anyway, the nurse showed in her arms two nurses, five children. He fainted. It's different when the residents of Vrindavan faint by not obtaining or attaining Krishna. Then it's no fault. It's their glory. Sanatan Goswami writes, Adayaha means anger and other emotions. The anger of the devotees, however, becomes a part of bhakti by scolding the fools. The devotees lead them to deliverance, O Krishna. Directly, the Supreme Lord. If the properties of non-devotees are for themselves, how is their attachment for enjoying matter, their welcoming guests, and showing affection to each other viewed? It is not to be seen as belonging to you, O Krishna, who gives complete bliss. Only to that extent do they offer respect to you, that is, by piety, and it benefits their material. Pious people will do good things with the expectation that they're going to get some pious results. Generally, that's a feature of the mode of goodness. There's happiness with the mode of goodness. People enjoy being religious and charitable and so forth. And it's good. Certainly better than passion and ignorance. But it's still binding. It's not the same as activities done without any expectation of result and return, and then instead the activity is dedicated to Krishna. That's just karma yoga. So it's a different position. Mine is Krishna consciousness. That's the point. Attachment becomes a thief, which by its nature steals the gems of discrimination, determination, and other good qualities. Adayaha indicates that on attaining this, one develops anger, etc. The house and the conduct of a householder cause suffering by restriction like a prison. Mutual affection moha causes a lack of independence like shackles on the feet. The meaning is this. Devotees nourish their bhakti by attachment to things that they offer to the Lord. They spread bhakti by anger at persons engaged in not serving the Lord. As householders, they show compassion for all beings by serving the devotees. This will not happen until they become devotees. Krishna says, if they serve me constantly, though I cannot reward them, the highest goal, is it wrong? Oh, Krishna, attractor of all hearts, as long as they do not become people of braja, dedicated to your service, dancing and singing with attachment, they will be like thieves causing disturbance. The house will cause grief like a prison. False affection, even for the devotees, will be chains to the feet, causing lack of independence. That is, doing the behavior without the attachment to Krishna. In this condition, attachment to their bodies or animals is a thief. The house is a prison. Affection for friends is shackles. As long as they do not become like the people of Braja, serving you with dedication. And then here's a little concluding summary. This is Jiva Goswami's from his commentary on the 10th canto, this particular verse. O Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. So that's, worldly people aren't going to want to continue reading when they read stuff like this, because it's like, whoa, you people are fanatics. Or something like that. This message is part of a much bigger picture. In the bigger picture, Brahma himself, he has children. He has a wife. He has more than one home. And so forth. He has more than one function. He has a lot of responsibility and, he's considering all of that when seeing the position of the Brijvasis, his attachment, whatever degree there is attachment in Brahma, for those things has slackened, wishing the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan. It's the exalted nature of Krishna. That's the first part, is unlimited opulences. And then the exalted nature of the devotees of Braja, that he's well acquainted with elevated devotees. He's on top of even all the demigods in the heavenly realm. He's topmost being. But way above him is this love of the residents of Vrindavan. So it's kind of, this is now a negative. If that attachment to Krishna isn't achieved, then attachment is going to take another form. The attachment is attachment to the temporary, and the attachment to the temporary acts like thieves. Specifically, stealing that higher bliss, that higher happiness, the higher consciousness. You say it differently. One cannot make progress in spiritual life is slowed down or inhibited by attachment to the temporary. And the solution of attachment to the temporary is not just throw it out, trash it, call it a bad name, renounce the world, walk away, go to the mountains, or everything is false by just philosophy, jagat mithya, just call it a bad name, and now you're okay. But it's that the things aren't the problem. It's the false attachment and false, with that attachment, affection for the temporary. That means trying to be the enjoyer of the temporary. That's the problem. So what about the temporary? Well, it should be seen as paraphernalia. We discussed this in some earlier class. Tadangam. Remember that? Did you hear that one? A good part of Brahma's prayers, there's a section that's just a restatement and an explanation of the Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavatam. The Chaturshloki verses of the Bhagavatam are Canto 2, Chapter 9, 33, 4, 5, and 6. The four essential verses that the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. And just before that, text 31, is Vishnu speaks to Brahma, saying this is all a mystery. You've asked some nice things, but it's all a mystery. And the mystery can be understood by devotional service only, not by philosophical speculation. It's the same message as his prayers. And then he says that one who has that connection with devotional service, they see all things as paraphernalia to be offered to the Supreme. That's this tadangam. Anga means limbs or extensions. So we're using the phrase, there's over there is a table and chairs, dining room table and chairs. So that's tadangam. And if it's seen as paraphernalia to be used in Krishna's service, that's liberating. And if it's seen as this is my object, this is my possession, this is for my family, we're going to go sit down and enjoy whatever, whatever, then it's binding. It's bewildering. That attachment is misplaced. So it's not, you know, throughout your table and chairs. It's see it in relation to service to Krishna. And so forth. That the residents of Vrindavan, they have occupation. Not our occupation, it's their occupation, but they have an occupation. They have family, they have children, they have homes, they have paraphernalia. And it's only in relation to Krishna that they're engaging with those things. So, it's the compare contrast. Without that attachment to Krishna, then there's going to have the other kind of attachment instead. And with the other kind of attachment instead, it's very problematic. And one isn't going to become happy. You know, Prabhupada had a very simple way of saying that this Hare Krishna movie, Swamiji, if everyone became like you, what would it be like? Prabhupada said, everyone will become happy. You know, just simple. Everyone will become happy. And there's, you unpack it and it goes to all of this discussion in Canto 10, Chapter 14. Instead of becoming happy, Prabhupada said they're becoming hippies. And then he said there'll be no more hippies. The unhappies. And the reporter said, what's your understanding of a hippie? And Prabhupada rolled his head back and said, you know better than I do. Something wonderful. Something astounding or something like that. Chant and be happy. You know, just like super simple. And then you unpack it and it's, you get the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why are people unhappy? Because their natural consciousness is covered. Their blissful prema is covered. And what covers the blissful prema? It's this attachment to the temporary. Attachment to being the enjoyer of the temporary. And how do you get to transfer that attachment to the attachment to Krishna? By the mercy of those who are attached to Krishna. He wants that attachment to the resident of Vrindavan. It's been pointed out. He's not asking, please grant me birth in my next life as a resident of Vrindavan. He could. He has appreciation for them. Why not ask for that? Well, he doesn't feel himself qualified, but it's also a little clever. You're their object of attachment. I don't have the qualification. If I get their mercy, the dust of their feet, I'll get that qualification and I'll become dear to you naturally. You'll become dear to me naturally. So it's the servant of the servant. With the mood of humility. So it's intelligent. It's not just low self-esteem. It's intelligent. He's very intelligent. Brahma. He's the most intelligent being in the universe. More intelligent than anybody. What anybody could do what Brahma did. Or 500,000 anybodies. Most brilliant people of all, you know, they invent a light bulb. And there's celebrity for, you know, hundreds of years. Or whatever. It's most intelligent. So let's see if there's some discussion. We have just four more verses and then the bell rings. We're going to change to another subject. You have something? Do you have a microphone?
Hare Krishna. Probably have to move. Guru Maharaj, Jiva Goswami's commentary on the shloka, he says, Brahmaji says that it is difficult for, you know, even Brahmaji to surrender to Krishna, like the Vrajavasis. And so we hear this statement that even it is difficult for Lord Brahma. And on the other side, we hear when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita that the servants of Srivas Thakur, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, calls and says, call all the servants, and even if there is an animal in your house, you know, I'll shower today all my mercy to them. How can we understand?
Lord Chaitanya's Namo Mahavadanaya. That's how we understand. Krishna required surrender to me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't require that.
So I feel inspired to become a servant of such a servant, and life is easier.
Yeah. Well, the goal is not to make life easy. The goal is to make life the servant of the servant of such exalted persons.
So that was my second question, Guru Maharaj. What it is to be a servant of a servant?
What does it take? How do we prepare ourselves?
How should we act? How should we prepare?
Well,
what should be our consciousness?
Study the life of our founder Acharya. He was doing so in, you know, real time, and obstacles and sacrifice and selfless service, etc. Everything about his life is that. And just by hearing about, and he's contemporary, he's proximate. And by hearing about and remembering and glorifying, and it's very inspiring. It elevates consciousness to that position. And that includes everything, you know, read his books and follow his instructions and so forth. That's how we prepare ourselves. From the most unqualified, meaning, you know, the persons that were Prabhupada's audience. The Lower East Side fellows. And then everybody. Anything back there? No? You have something? Online? Do we have some online questions?
Question from Sri Radhika Mataji. You said that our process is simple. We just have to bring our mind to Krishna. It's very difficult to unlearn bad habits. It's worse than starting from scratch. After so many years of having fed the distracted mind during chanting, it's very difficult to unlearn this habit. Please help.
Abhyasa yoga yuktena. The potency is there in the instructions, and one takes the instructions and has the potency. So we just keep practicing and practicing because the potency is there. And practice with faith and keep practicing in good association and keep practicing however long it takes. That's my answer to that. It's not easy, but the potency is there.
Atulya Mataji daughter's Radha's question.
Radha, okay.
I read that, this is an unrelated question to today's class. I read that if we kill even an insect, then we go to hell. But we sometimes have to kill mosquitoes, wasps, and other insects which harm us. Do we go to hell for that?
Well, I don't know if you kill a mosquito, you go to hell. I don't know where she came across that. It's not that we go to hell. Here's Prabhupada's statement about mosquitoes. This is a story from Hari Sori. Sometimes Prabhupada would stay in places where there were mosquitoes. So one of the procedures that he, as his servant, would do would set up his mosquito net. And then he would ask Prabhupada, what about the mosquitoes that are inside the mosquito net? And then he said, if they attack, they're aggressors, you can kill them. And otherwise you swish them away. So he didn't approve of killing mosquitoes unless they attack. That's, you know, so wasps, you know, there are ways of shooing a wasp away, but if the wasp attacks, he's an aggressor. Now, there was, I was staying in the sannyas quarters in Houston. They have a house. Looks like the other houses, but it's the sannyas quarters and the pujari's quarters and Radhakrishna's quarters, the resident brahmachari there. So just above the entrance to the doorway to go into the sannyas quarters, there was a beehive. They had built, it was dripping honey. It was just like, you know, above the doorway, there was like a little ledge, and there was this dripping, and so that the bees would go mad. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bees. So they tried this and tried that, but it was underneath the wood. They had to pull out the wood and take out the honeycomb, and, you know, then many of the bees left, but there were still a lot of bees, and so they had to, because it was dangerous, they got an exterminator. The sannyasis couldn't use the sannyas quarters for a while because it was dangerous. But, you know, that was the last ditch. So one of the best things to do, is, you know, we're here in the West, we have windows and screens and all kinds of things. And, you know, in other climates and other countries, like in India, they don't have all that. So, you know, the insects come indoors. So we don't. Prabhupada told the story about he had an uncle who was a cloth merchant. So she's speaking mosquitoes and wasps. I'm going to speak about rats. As a cloth merchant, rather than like get a rat exterminator, over some, besides where the pile of cloth was, he put some milk. Or something, some edibles for the rats. So the rats would come and eat that, and they wouldn't eat the cloth. And it was, Prabhupada thought, my uncle is very smart. A few rupees worth of something over there instead of losing all his cloth. And at the same time, he's feeding rats. Is that what we're supposed to do, is feed rats? Well, if you're a cloth merchant, that's one way you can protect them, or you can not exterminate them. So the short answer to your question is no, you don't go to hell if you kill a mosquito, but don't kill mosquitoes wantonly. If they attack, that's another thing. Okay? You have something? Mosquitoes?
In India, I see that, you know, they have a bat, mosquito bat. They have it, and then they go around the house, you know, and they just use the mat, through the mat, the mosquito will die. So is that also karma? Using that, you know, voluntary killing because mosquito will attack.
I don't know. You know, in America, there's this thing, it goes like that and it catches flies. It's just sticky and the flies land on it and they get stuck. Is that the same?
No, that's an electric bat. You know, they take it, you know, inside.
A stick? A bat?
Yeah.
They go like this and then the mosquito catches on that and the spark that comes in.
Oh. Electric one.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. It sounds like it. But you know, what are you going to do? You know, put screens up. That's what you do. Then it keeps them out.
Mm-hmm. So we don't need to go voluntarily to
the attack
us. Because...
Yeah, just do the protection program. Keep the intruders out. Scorpions and poisonous snakes are different.
Even if you see them.
You know that story, don't you? Okay. It's in Prahlad's prayers. So, different.
Thank you.
Maharaj, online questions. What is the difference between spontaneous love of Brajavasis and the love of Krishna at Prema Bhakti stage?
Prema Bhakti
stage, at that stage. What is the difference between the Prema Bhakti stage of...
It's just a different way of describing the same thing.
He's checking in multiple places. Hare Krishna Maharaj, I would like to know more about pious activities. At what point pious activities becomes devotional service? I am asking because at my status, those activities are not unalloyed.
Well, that's the same for most of us. Mixed devotional service is the platform for most of us. Pious simply means mode of goodness or prescribed by scripture. Prescribed by scripture is pious. And devotional is the prescribed activities are done for the pleasure of Krishna. So that's the distinction. And so in response to the question, we're all largely in this mixed position, trying to go to the unmixed. So what makes it unmixed is the hearing and chanting process and then the dedication of ourselves to the hearing and chanting activities, because that cleanses the mix. His phone is not responding nicely.
Question from Amara Mataji. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, how do we differentiate between contentment, mercy from Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and material complacency?
Contentment.
Between contentment, mercy from Krishna consciousness, and material complacency.
That's a very unusual question. I'm not sure. So, material complacency sounds like the mode of ignorance. Material complacency is, you know, lazy. Material complacency. Whatever. And contentment can be material or spiritual. Contentment could be spiritual. That is, whatever Krishna arranges, that's fine with me. And the contentment could also be complacency. I'm lazy and I can make an endeavor to do something because I'm just going to wait for whatever Krishna does. So that's, anyway, she needs to reword the question more carefully and think it through more carefully, because it's too broad and not so clear.
Next question. Often I find my spiritual practice being routine and not very inspired. How do you make it not routine and more inspired? It's from Radha Kunja Bihari Prabhu.
This is a standard classic question. How do you go from mechanical to devotional? Prabhupada's expression is that initially we do things simply because we're instructed to do so. We understand by brushing my teeth, it's oral hygiene, it's good for me, whether I like to brush my teeth or not. I brush my teeth. It's good for me. So mode of goodness is I do something because it's good for me. And that's mode of goodness. So then it becomes maybe just a little mechanical. Then the devotional is, what's the purpose for which I want to even become, mode of goodness? Because it's good for me. Like, why is it good for me? What's good about it? The inquisitive spirit takes one to, through contact with scripture. The real goal is to please Krishna, offer things that are beneficial for the pleasure of Krishna. So that's that. The how to move from mechanical to devotional is exercise your devotional muscle. you know, 15 of those and 20 of those and 10 of those. Do your devotional spiritual therapy instead of physical therapy. And just practice. This is similar to this Sri Radhika's question. By practice. Let me do this. So let's say in the course of this devotee's day, he may do something, he may do so many somethings. So take one of those somethings. Take one of those somethings and make a very conscious effort every day. This particular thing, you know, I'm going to brush my teeth for Krishna. Or I'm going to, you know, make the offering after I've cooked. I'm going to make the offering with as much purity and clarity of consciousness as I can. Do one thing with maximum consciousness, or I'm going to, you know, something. Start with chanting with feeling. Chant with the feeling of I'm with Krishna. Krishna's kindly come to me. Let me be with Krishna in my attentiveness to Krishna, etc. You just cultivate the devotional dimension of what you do, and it becomes cleansed and strengthened. And it may take some time because we're very materially covered, not just this lifetime. That's it.
More questions. This is from Veda. Is there any mention of modern technology in the Srimad Bhagavatam?
No. I believe. No, yesterday. Yesterday was Veda's birthday. She turned 13. She's now a happy teenager. Huh? She's the parents are happy too. Go ahead.
This is another question from Amara Mataji. Contents of Shastra are very happily overwhelming.
Are happily what?
Overwhelming.
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 Yes. I wish to share a lot, but feel short of capacity. How can I share these gems?
Your capacity you share, and your capacity will grow. That's how it works.
I have a question from morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So one of the questions was asked regarding Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma.
Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna appears in the other 999 cycles of the yugas, but he doesn't go to Vrindavan.
Yes, I heard your answer. That's where my question comes from. So that means no Vrajalila?
That's right.
No Rasa dance, nothing.
That's right.
So what will happen, what happens when Krishna goes to Vrindavan?
He doesn't go.
Okay. And I also heard Guru Maharaj that...
As far as I know, I've not heard detailed descriptions of what I just said, but that's my... It's Vasudev Krishna form, Krishna, and he does what he does. He kills the demons and protects the devotees and doesn't go to Vrindavan.
And that is why the Hare Krishna mantra in this Kali Yuga is very... auspicious and very...
Well, it not only why in this particular one because Krishna just appeared. It's very auspicious because it's for the Kali Yuga. Not only this particular one. The one that Krishna went to Vrindavan. It's very auspicious for Kali Yuga.
For every Kali Yuga?
Oh, gosh.
The reason I'm asking is...
I'd like to know what the reason is for your asking.
Yes. Because I heard that the Hare Krishna Mantra is given... The potency of the Hare Krishna Mantra only is available in this Kali Yuga because
no,
Lord Chaitanya...
I never heard that. It is Kali Sanatana Upanishad. It's not a this Yuga Cycle Upanishad. It's a Upanishad. So, I don't know where you heard it, but it's not scriptural, to my knowledge.
It does have the potency in every Kali Yuga to
give. You're asking the same question in another way, the same answer to the same question asked in a different way. Okay, fine.
Adam, can you unmute yourself and ask a question?
Hare Krishna.
Pertaining to this lesson, I was curious, during this stay-at-home order, many of us are using this time to do home improvement. And during your lesson, I could only think of that kind of means that I'm strengthening my prison walls as only being a new devotee and not very Krishna consciousness. And I was curious if you could maybe tell us how we could better offer our homes to Krishna.
How you can better offer your home to Krishna during coronavirus or all the time? So let me say back what I'm thinking you're asking. I'm a newcomer, and I heard about this dedication of one's home to Krishna. Can you give me some understanding of how a newcomer can dedicate their home to Krishna? That's your question?
Yes.
And how you can then share that with other people that you're interacting with, I guess. Yes? Okay. Are you familiar with Sri Isha Upanishad? Have you heard of it? And maybe even have you read it? Okay. Sri Isha Upanishad. Now you've heard of it. It's one of the four essential texts that Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to become familiar with for their Bhakti Shastri certificate. And Pratibahu is teaching it, I believe, along with the other three. So Sri Isha Upanishad has, at its essence, it's about proprietorship. And proprietorship has everything to do with where does the source of things come from. So that the invocation of Isha Upanishad is the absolute truth is the source of everything, and that absolute truth is, of course, Krishna. So everything is his property because it comes from him. And then the first verse says, you are entitled to accept as your quota that which is the property of Krishna, the source of everything, and use it in his service, and don't accept other things, knowing that it belongs to Krishna. So now to your question. Here's your home. That's it, you may own it, or you may be a renter, and someone else is the proprietor. But you know, let's just keep it simple and say it's your home. But ultimately, it's not your home; it's Krishna's home. And because it's Krishna's home, then you see it that way. Just like I was, you know, using this example of the dining room table, looking across the room, there's a table and chairs. And, you know, most homes have a dining room table, in America at least, with table and chairs. So that's household paraphernalia that's in the home. So, it's objects and the home, propriety-wise, it belongs to Krishna. You may say, or, you know, the family that owns the house may say, wait a minute, that's my table. That's my cooking pots. It's my, you know, mine. And then the spiritual conception is, no, you're utilizing it for some period of time, but it wasn't yours, and there's going to be time when it's taken from you also. So it's not yours. Even if you own a house, and you have a deed that has your name on the deed, you're going to expire and it's going to become somebody else's house. And ultimately the house belongs to Krishna. So if with the proprietorship concept, that's why I'm mentioning Isha Upanishad, with the proprietorship concept, it's not mine. So if it's not mine, whose is it? And it's Krishna's, then let me use it with that sense, because it's Krishna's. So you dedicate things, that's this tadangam phrase that we refer to, that's the paraphernalia. The house is paraphernalia that's to be used in Krishna's service. And then it serves to be liberating. So how to is you see the things as Krishna's property, and then you're contemplating how is it best used in service to Krishna. And then fill in the blank, because we all have different natures. Someone may put in their house musical instruments. Someone may put in their house paintings of Krishna or pictures or something. Someone may, you know, whatever, you know, different people have different likings. So according to your liking, you engage yourself with Krishna's house and you invite people to come and hear Krishna's message and take Krishna prasadam and things like that. You use your house as a angam, as paraphernalia, to be used in service to Krishna. Each of us according to our nature. And you can find others, devotees, who you like the way that they utilize things in Krishna's service, and you just model things after that person, learn from that person, or even how to customize according to your nature, utilizing things in service to Krishna. The root of it is proprietorship. And there's a very strong material sense of I'm the proprietor, mine. And that's rooted in the bodily conception of self, I and mine. So the spiritual conception is I'm not this body, and the paraphernalia is not mine. I'm the soul, and the paraphernalia is Krishna's, meant for his service. The best way to move to that position is the spiritual conception of proprietorship. And that's resting on the self-conception, the spiritual self-conception. Okay?
Maharaj, there's another question from Ashish Prabhu. Hare Krishna Maharaj, what should be the object of focus in chanting? Some say focus on lotus feet, some say on hearing the chant. What is the recommendation for focusing?
It's very clear. Sound. Now, Rupa Goswami teaches us the name has feet. I'll say it again. The name has form, and the form has feet. But if you can't, you start with the sound. Be attentive to the sound. And then you'll have a deeper sense of the sound has form, which also has feet. But you know, that that's a elevated state. Just focus on the sound. Hearing the sound with desire to be in service to Krishna through that medium of that, of the sound of his name.
I had a couple of questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Following up on Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu's question, and I heard your answer morning class, and Balram Prasad Prabhu's question also about Krishna appearing. Krishna appears only one day in Brahma's life.
No, sorry.
Once in Brahma's life,
no.
Among all the...
No. Every day of Brahma has 1,000 yuga cycles. Yes. He appears once in one of those yuga cycles out of 1,000.
Yes, and the question was whether this is the Manvantara or this is the Mahayuga or this is when he appeared.
No, his question was, there was reference, Jiva Goswami made reference to something from Vishnu Purana where it spoke a little different than the cowherd men went to Nanda Maharaj. In Vishnu Purana it says the cowherd men also went to Krishna and asked Krishna, who are you? And Jiva Goswami indicates this is another yuga cycle in which Krishna appears. Another day of Brahma in which, another kalpa is the word that he uses, in which Krishna appears. And every day of Brahma there's 1,000. So his question was that, was that appearance of Krishna in a different day of Brahma, was it our Brahma or some other universe? Because Krishna has pastimes in every universe. He gets, you know, from here to there to there. So does that take care of your question?
Yes, but Krishna appears.
Speak into the microphone.
Krishna appearing once
in a day of Brahma.
In a day of Brahma, and that day or that Mahayuga is this one.
You say Mahayuga, you know, the once in the day of Brahma is this one, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
My second question is, you talked about Brahma getting pride. We also...
I didn't speak of Brahma getting pride. Indra got pride. Brahma was curious.
Okay.
Different.
But the question still is there. So we also, like, particularly me, I can see that when we do services, pride comes.
Yep.
And with some success or whatever.
Yes, it's part of our contamination.
So how should we, like, continue doing the services?
Yes.
While contemplating on trying to improve or?
Yes. The service is the means of cleansing. Not stopping service is the means of cleansing. We may want to take a pause and do a reset on, you know, the purity part and then resume the service or something. We're not like, cavalier or leave the janitorial service up to Krishna and I'll just keep doing my service. But, we're cautious. We guard against such things. And there may be different ways of guarding against such things, but it's not just stopping service. Okay? In the back. He has a question in the back. You've been very patient.
Okay. My question is like, when we do chanting.
When we do chanting.
Yeah. We focus on Krishna or lotus feet of Krishna. When we are doing, does it come under yoga maya?
When you say lotus feet, you're going back to the previous question.
Okay, when we focus on Krishna.
Yeah, so focus on the mantra. Okay.
Yeah, focusing on the mantra.
Yeah.
Will it come under yoga maya?
Yeah, of course.
So,
yes.
Would that be the path like to be in the transcendental consciousness?
Yes, yes, exactly. You got it. Keep going.
Okay. So, it is also as a maya, right?
But it's yoga maya. We take your pick. Yogamaya or Mahamaya, there isn't a third position.
Okay.
We're under Krishna's energy.
So will it advance?
Maya
Krishna?
Means his energy. There's Yogamaya and there's Mahamaya, which is your preference. Well, sometimes this one and sometimes that one. We're mixed. But We're under his potencies, for sure. And the submission to the Maha Mantra, that's the Yogamaya, that's the internal potency, for sure. Okay?
Two more questions. Attachment to temporary is binding, and attachment to Krishna is liberating.
More than liberating. Yeah, go ahead.
Vyasadev, as being Shaktiyavesha avatar of Krishna, was also being influenced by modes of material nature.
Hold the microphone a little further away.
Okay.
Thanks. Vyasadev was doing what?
Vyasadev, he was Shaktiyavesha avatar. Was he also being influenced by modes of material nature as he lamented so much when Shukadev Goswami left the house? Does modes of material nature affect every human being till one becomes a pure devotee?
Well, he is a pure devotee, and his lamentation for the spiritual object is not material lamentation.
It's the last question I have, Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please enlighten us why Srila Prabhupada did not comment on chapter 14.
He left his body in chapter 13.
That's why he wrote the Krishna book in the beginning, right?
Yes, because he didn't know if he would get to finish the entire 10th canto. Again, take a look at this Hare Krishna film, and there's footage of Prabhupada in his, you know, skin and bones condition, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam purport with such clarity. Read chapter 13 purports, and it's just astounding. You look at the purport, you look at that video footage of Prabhupada's condition, it doesn't match. He's on another platform. Clearly, who knows how much pain, etc. I mean, what's it going to be like when we're ready to give up our body? What, how much clarity are we going to have? Whew. Okay. Anything up there in the stairway? You have something? That's okay.
In this journey of Krishna consciousness, I'm at a stage where I want to come out of fear.
Fear. Okay.
And move to faith.
Move to?
Faith. Develop faith.
Faith.
And at times I feel that I'm holding on to the tree and I'm saying it's not letting me go. And that's a roadblock. How... I understand that I need to focus on my chanting, which is the base.
Good.
And also read scriptures.
Yeah.
But somehow, when it comes to reading scriptures, I have some blockages. But by Krishna mercy, now that I'm getting some association of devotees, and when I'm working with them, then reading scriptures becomes easy for me. And now when I'm working with these devotees or newcomers and I'm discussing these, then I feel that I am still working on this fear area. I'm still holding
on
to it.
That's okay.
And how can I tell them?
You don't tell them. You be honest. You're not, I'm up here, you're down there. But really, I'm not up there. Don't do that. You can, you know, quite honestly say what you're just saying now. And they'll go, you know, wow, she's honest. I mean, you can speak the philosophy without confessing your inadequacies every time, but you don't take the posture of I'm up there. I'm in the process of becoming also. You know, I have some areas where I'm also stuck, but you know, I have faith. This is in the process, and the process explains like this. This is how it works. And I'm still working on it. I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. You know, I have to go into detail because that's not going to, you know, help them go the next step. But don't, present yourself as if you're beyond where you are. I'm whatever you want to say, however you want to express it. Don't position yourself as if you're beyond where you are.
The roadblock that comes, Maharaj, is when I am honest and when I tell that I am still in probably pre-KG of this Krishna conscious journey. And then sometimes people don't take me seriously. So that's another problem.
Well, that's their choice. You don't have to do the true confession thing. Just don't posture yourself as you're beyond where you are. That's all. And if they're going to say, oh, well, then I don't have to listen to you because I want somebody that's a new Uttamadhikari. Well, okay, that's not me. I'm also becoming. And that's honest.
Thank you.
I know where the areas are that I need to work on, and I'm working on them. And I'm not there yet. But here's what the teaching says, and I have faith in it. That's honest. And if people say, well, you know, forget you, because you're not there yet. You smile and say, yeah, I'm not there yet.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Something? No. Okay. Prabhupada ki?